Genesis chapter 50 in the Word of God. It's absolutely amazing how that the Lord has delivered this male. He said, "Preacher, I don't understand." Well, you know, a couple weeks back I was preaching on Joseph, on the life of Joseph, and I just wanted to. I mean, if you ever just want to, I just wanted to preach some more about Joseph, and I just got away from him, and I said, that's enough about him for a while. Then I was reading my Bible yesterday, and guess who came up in the Hebrews reading, the book of Hebrews? Joseph. Guess who came up in the book of Exodus reading? Joseph. I said, okay, Lord, I'll go back and look at chapter 50 again. And when I did, I'm telling you, God loaded the wagon. I want to give you some things this morning. Trust it'll be a blessing to you. In Genesis chapter 50, the Bible said Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And don't get too excited this morning, because I'll not get done with all this morning. You understand? And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so were fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. Boy, I underlined that. Glory to God. We've been talking about Joseph and Jesus. Here Joseph said, I will come again. Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father, according as he had made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph and his brethren in his father's house. Only their little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. There went up with him both chariots and horsemen. There was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan. And there they mourned with great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Ebel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for the possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, please pay attention this morning. When they saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us of all the evil that we did unto him. Now, in East Tennessee language, the brethren are concerned that Joseph is about to get even, about to settle a score, about to take vengeance into his own hands. But there's one thing for sure. Joseph's brethren did not know Joseph's heart. Let that sink in. Joseph's brethren did not know Joseph's heart. Let me say to you this morning, there are going to be times in a church when something's going to come out of this preacher's mouth, and you may even question it. But you better remember this. There's one up there looking down on this heart. There may be something come out of your mouth that I would question or somebody else would question. But there's a God in heaven that knows our hearts. The Bible said here, when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, they said, he will peradventure hate us, and certainly requite us of all the evil that we did unto them. They sent a messenger unto Joseph. They're trying to get ahead of the situation, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive. Now this was Jacob's instruction. He said, you need to say this to Joseph when I'm gone. So even Jacob, before he died, Israel, before he died, was concerned about the brethren after daddy left the scene. Let me just say something to you. I don't say this hatefully. I've experienced it in my own family, so I'm surely not pointing a finger. But I've, in my immediate family, not my brothers and sisters, thank God. Amen. Not my mom and dad, thank God. But in my immediate family, I've watched the bottom fall out, so to speak, of the family when the head of that family went home to be with the Lord. Chaos. Things that would have broken their heart had they known it was going on. Amen. Now watch this. The Bible said here, thy father did. So Jacob's concerned about it. So shall he say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father, of the God of thy father. Joseph went up, and Joseph wept when he spake unto them. Now why is Joseph weeping? How many knows that Joseph does not hate them? As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Sometimes, friend of mine, things are just the opposite. I remember, I'm going to read the rest of the text. I'm going to get through this. It may take till Wednesday night to get through it, but we need to camp right here in this scripture a while. Let me say this to you. I remember Mays Jackson preaching years ago. Brother Mays said, my daddy would whoop me. And my daddy would say, son, this is hurting me worse than it is you. And Brother Mays said, I can remember thinking, somebody's got their signals mixed up. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes, listen to me, beloved, sometimes God is going to require a pastor to come to this pulpit and say some things that are not popular, but you better just remember this, amen. It's not because he hates you, it's because he loves you. It's not because God hates us, it's because he loves us. It's because God wants to protect what you and I have in our heritage and the heritage of this wonderful church. Let's look at some things here. The Bible said, and his brethren also went out and fell down before his face and said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. Now, here's my text. Here's the title for my message. He said, am I in the place of God? I'm going to say something right here. I'm not going to say it in a hateful way, but some preachers act like they are. They act like, Brother Johnny, they're God. They act like they can tell you this and that and the other. Amen. They can tell you whether you're saved or not. They can tell you what the will of God is for your life. I say, God bless them. I ain't never got there. I'm not in the place of God. It's hard enough for me to figure out the will of God for my own life, let alone for yours. Amen. And it's hard enough for me, as I examine myself, let alone to spend my days examining you. Amen. Now, I'm going to go somewhere today. You're going to understand later. I'm just trying to lay a little bit of groundwork. But Joseph said, am I in the place of God? Boys, am I God? How many knows the answer to that? Joseph is a good type of the Savior. Say amen. But Joseph is not the Savior. The pastor and the deacons, as a matter of fact, every one of us that named the name of Christ ought to follow in the steps of Christ. But we're not Christ. We're still fallible. We still make mistakes. I see some preachers would preach, you're still fallible. And you still make mistakes. But I like to say it the way it needs to be said. We're still fallible. And we still make mistakes. Now, Joseph, this is very important. Very, very important. He said, am I in the place of God? Watch this. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me. There was nothing good about the thought process that Joseph's brethren had towards him. Nothing. First of all, let's kill him. And then they said, well, why would we kill him when we can make a little money in the process? Let's sell him. Amen. I don't know which is worse. Say amen right there. But I do know this. God had a plan. And God had a program. And listen, we read it to you in that text back there in Genesis. It was, Joseph said, it's not you, but God. Sometimes we don't even realize it. Listen to me carefully. But all we are is pawns. Amen. In the hands of a sovereign God. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. I don't either, but I believe it. I've read my Bible. I've read about Pharaoh. The Bible said here, as for you, you thought evil against, but God, I love those two words in the Bible, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. Now watch this. Here, what did Jacob think? What did the brethren think? They thought he's going to hate them. He's going to get even with them. What was the truth of the matter? He said, now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you. And I'm not just going to stop there, boys. I'm going to nourish your little ones. I care about you. I care about your children. I want you to say this morning, listen and understand, I care about you and I care about your children. I care about my children and my grandchildren. I care about your children. And the Bible said here, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And the word of God said he comforted them and he spake kindly unto them. Now isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Remember before when Joseph was kind of disguising himself, he spake harshly unto them. Remember that? He was disguising his voice, so to speak, and he spake harshly unto them. But now, listen, all this is out in the air, and he speaks kindly unto them. Watch this. Am I unto you? Am I in the place of God? And Joseph dwelled in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which you swear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Watch this. And you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died. You see, that's what I read about over there in the book of Exodus. That's what I read about over there by faith. Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph knew, amen, as much as he was at home in Egypt, Egypt wasn't going to be his final home. He knew that. The Bible said here, God will surely visit you. You shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. If God will help me for a little while this morning, I want to begin. I've already introduced a little bit, but I want to begin a message entitled, Am I in the Place of God? Let me say this to you, men. Even in rearing our children, we ought to ask ourselves that. We ought to say that to our children. Am I in the place of God? You are the head of the house, man. How many believes that? Say amen. But who's to be the head of the man? Christ is to be the head of the man. And the man is to be the head of the house. I'm going to tell you something right now. That head has an awesome responsibility. An awesome responsibility. We ought to say, as a pastor to our people, am I in the place of God? Dads ought to say to their children and to their wife, am I in the place of God? You ought to be the best leader you could be in the home. But I tell you what, there's still a God. Say amen. Our children need to be taught to look to Him. Our wives need to be taught to look to Him. Our grandchildren need to be taught to look to Him. And our lives ought to be. You see, Paul said it like this. He said, be ye followers together of me. Is that right? But he didn't stop there. He said, come on, youngins, follow me. By the way, sheep are not driven. Sheep are led. You got to get out in front of them, amen? You got to lead the way, right or wrong? Watch this now. But he said he didn't stop there. He didn't just say, come on, follow me. He said, no, be ye followers together of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. That's very important. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for Joseph. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for our church. God, I pray that this day, Lord, you'd put a holy guard over my lips. Help me not to say anything, our Father, that would be displeasing in thy sight. Help me to say, Lord, that, Father, you want me to say. I believe, Lord, this is an important, very important day in the history of Bible Way Baptist Church. And I pray, God, today that you'd help this preacher, Lord, to be what I need to be for my precious people. Lord, I love you. I thank you for loving me. God, I appreciate and love each one of our families, each one, Lord, of our young adults, and each one of our teenagers, and each one of our children. God, how I love them this morning. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would just help us to worship this day. Show us thy will and thy way in this wilderness, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me give you this, just a couple of things this morning, and I believe we'll close out and hook back up tonight. First of all, I want to look at in the message, am I in the place of God when it comes to the faith? When it comes to the faith. Can I look into your heart, Brother Preston, and say of a surety, that man is a child of God? The answer to that is no. Is there a God in heaven that can look into your heart and say that man is a child of God? The answer to that of a surety is yes, you better believe it. Amen. I want you to understand this morning. You say, preacher, where did you get about that faith? The Bible said in Hebrews 11:22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let me give you something this morning, friend. Listen, don't forget this. Don't forget what I'm about to say. You say, preacher, how can you say of a surety that Joseph was a man of faith? Listen to me carefully. I can say it of a surety because God said it in his word. Now listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, you ought to be able to read the book of Genesis and you ought to be able to say Joseph is a man of faith. I agree with that to some degree, but let me just say something to you. I'm going to make a couple of statements. I'm going to read them because I don't want to mess it up. I was careful in writing them down a while ago. Number one, you can look and act like a believer and be lost. You can look the part. You can talk the part. You can act the part and be as lost as a ball in high weeds. You say, preacher, I don't understand where this is going. You will if you hang around here today. I'm telling you, I'm not God. I don't know who is and who ain't. I can only speak for one. Thank God that's why my soul welled up when the choir was singing, he delivered me. And I know he did. And I have absolute confidence. Listen, that many, many, many of you know exactly what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you what's the truth. I'm not trading with any of you. And you ought to feel the same way about Pastor. You say, preacher, oh, it'd be a sure bet to trade with Pastor. I'm telling you, there's lost pastors in this land that we live in, standing in pulpits, that will not preach like I'm going to preach today because they're afraid. They're afraid. Joseph was a man of faith. How do you know that? Because God said it in his word. In order to go to heaven, you must be born again. How do you know that, preacher? Because God said it in his word. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. How do you know that, preacher? Because God said it in His Word. Joseph was a man of faith. Am I in the place of God when it comes to the faith? The answer to that is no. I'm not in the place of God when it comes to the faith. I'm going to tell you something right now. I sat right there a minute ago till I got so wound up thinking about what the choir was singing. Thinking about to some degree, brothers and sisters, there are times when I'd like to be in that place. Brother Randy, where I could know when that youngin' understands and just go get that youngin', amen, and just do what needs to be done for them. But I tell you something right now, I cannot do what needs to be done for our children. I'm not in the place of God. All I can do is point them to the One who can. I cannot do what needs to be done for these precious teenagers. But what I can do is point them to the One who can and pray for them. I can do that. I am doing that, and I will continue to do that. Let me tell you something right now. This is a mistake that I believe is being made in pulpits across America, even by good men. They get real discouraged. Listen to me carefully. This will help you, preachers. They get real discouraged when people aren't getting saved and people aren't getting right. Am I in the place of God, Brother Rick? That's not my business. My business is to preach the Word of God. Your business is to pray. My business is to pray. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. When the Spirit of God camps out in a place, amen, I'm telling you, God can do business in the hearts and lives of His people, in the hearts and lives of a sinner. God can do that business. But that is not my business. Am I in the place of God? No. When it comes to the faith, I made that statement, you can look and act like a believer and be lost. An example of that's Judas. He's traveling right with them, Brother Ralph. Brother Ralph, I love you. I love Brother Lowell. I even love Brother Houston. Amen. He's trying to hide over there. Amen. But I love him. I appreciate these men. Brother David's working today. I just named our deacons. But I wouldn't trade with one of them. I have confidence in them, but I wouldn't trade with one of them. Let me say this, it's possible to look the part and act the part and talk the part and be lost. An example of that is Judas. But let me give you this statement. You can look and act like a heathen. It's quiet, it ought to be. Before the day's over, it'll get quieter. You can look and act like a heathen and be a child of God. Oh, you say you better back that up. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. When David was looking and when David was lusting, when David was sending, he sure wasn't acting like a child of God. When Peter was warming by the fire and Peter was cursing and Peter was denying that he even knew the Lord, he sure wasn't acting like a child of God. He said, preacher, I don't understand why all this is coming up in the sermon. Because I know preacher after preacher that makes a mistake. First time somebody makes a mistake, they say, well, they must not be saved. I'm going to make a statement. You can go ask him. My pastor's name was Bud Wishon when I got saved. I believe he was absolutely, literally shocked when I got saved. He was shocked. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, that was the furthest thought from his mind. My adult Sunday school teacher drives my van, taking care of children's church. You say, on the radio, amen. You say, preacher, he was shocked. Yeah, he was. But guess what? He wasn't. He's the one that brought me to that place. So what, you say, preacher, what did Brother Wishon do? Did he take offense to it? No. He asked me a question. He said, Rick, are you sure the devil don't have you tripped up and deceived? I said, preacher, with tears running like a river, I said, I've been deceived for 27 years. That's why I had to stand here in this mess. Would you get your Bible? He ran up there, got his Bible, put his arm around me in the altar, said, Rick, I'm glad you come, son. He said, there's nothing worth dying and going to hell over. Oh, God, help us in Bible Way that people would not leave our pews and split hell wide open. The man on the bar stool this morning, he's probably not on the bar stool. He's hung over. The woman in the house of ill repute this morning, she's probably this morning, but she's feeling pretty low. She sold her body. Somebody rolled up their sleeve last night and put a needle in their arm, and they don't know anything about what's going on this Lord's Day. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that crowd pretty well knows where they stand with God. I'm not judging them. By the way, I'll have more to say about them later in the message. It may not be what you think either. But listen, they can look and act the part and be lost. Or you can look at them at a stage in their life. Let me ask you something. Listen, let me ask you something. The term, it's really an Old Testament term. Backslid. How many of you knows that term? You know something about that term. Okay. That means that you're not where you used to be with God. Now I'm going to ask a question. How many's ever had a period in your life? Now, wait a minute. Let's not talk about publicly for just a moment. Let's talk about privately. What if the whole church could see what was going on privately? Or hear what was being said privately? Or see what we were looking at privately? How many knows there was a time, say amen, in every one of us's life, when we looked more like a heathen than we did a child of God? Am I in the place of God? The answer to that's no. I can't go through here. I'm going to tell you right now. I could preach and we could experience somebody coming to the altar and trusting Christ as their Savior. But it's all I know about it, Brother Rick, is they said they did. That's the fact of the matter. That's all I know about it. By the way, I used to send out letters, and we would report the professions of faith in the prison. We'll be getting that letter from Brother Frankie from month to month. And they were telling me about two that were saved up at USP Lee. But a lot of people, they keep them numbers month after month and year after year. And I'm kind of like Brother Mays. I'm going back to something he said years ago. He said, I just preach and let God keep the records. He said, because his record is accurate. God never come along and wrote somebody's name in the Lamb's Book of Life and it was a mistake. His record is accurate. I don't know about you this morning, but for the saved individual, that ought to make us say, glory! He wrote my name way up in glory. But I tell you something right now, it's entirely possible to have your name on the books here and not on the books there. You said, preacher, that bothers me. Then you ought to thank God you're being bothered. Because there's a whole lot of people sleeping right on into hell. You ought to thank God that you're being bothered. Am I in the place of God? Brother Sam, thank you for what you and Sister Teresa do. You all know that there's times when you'd love to get these youngins up and just do exactly what needs to be done for them. But you're not God. All you can do is just keep bringing them in and keep teaching them and keep loving them. And maybe they'll see enough Christ in you that they'll want Him in their heart one day after a while. But sometimes, listen, I'm not saying you. Help me now, church. Sometimes we get a little impatient. And sometimes in our impatience, we push. And sometimes we might even push and get something that ain't real. Be better to wait on God and get something that's real than it would to push and prime and prod, amen, and get something. I'm not against giving an invitation. I'm for it. But I tell you what, if God can't go back there and get them, there ain't no need me going back there. Amen. Ain't no need me going back there. Am I in the place of God when it comes to the faith? I believe with all my heart. That when God said, you must be born again, that's not an option. It's not something you can take it or leave it. Not if you want to go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. I've illustrated something before, and I'm not sure if I've illustrated it here at this church or not. But you're not saved by feelings. You're saved by faith. You're saved by faith. Let me borrow your cane, brother. I've never illustrated it like this before. Brother Preston, no, that's all right. You got your boy there with you, ain't you, brother? I'll leave you alone. Let me get me a volunteer. Brother Gary Joe, you can come up here and help me, buddy. Amen. Come up here and help me. I'm going to use this to illustrate. I'm not going to hit you with it, brother. I love you too much for that. What I want to do, brother, is just, we might break that, but I'll do it in your belt. That way we won't break it. Okay, brother, can you tell that there's something holding you back? Go on back there where you're at. Go on. He's trying to be smart now, ain't he? Amen. Wait a minute. Let me just say this. Watch this now, brother. If I do this, go on back there. Did you feel something come loose? Now you can go, can't you? How many remembers when we was trying to go and we couldn't? How many remembers when we was so steeped in sin? How many remembers what I'm talking about? We even had a desire sometimes, amen, to get out of it, and a desire to get away from it. But the hook was still in us. Am I right or am I wrong? Somebody tell me his name, the one that can take the hook out. Say it again for me. That's right, not Pastor. Jesus. Not Daddy. Jesus. Not Daddy-in-law. But Jesus. Okay, let me illustrate it like this. I need another volunteer. Chris, come on up here and help me. He was sitting there trying to mind his own business. This don't weigh much. Probably what, 2 or 3 pounds? Maybe 4. Maybe a 5-pound bag of sugar. Amen. I tell you what, there's times when it's sugar. There's times when it's bitter. Just lean over here a bit. You feel something on there? You feel? What about now? Okay. What I want you to do, Chris, if you will, is just tell the church when it's gone, okay? Okay? You're not saying anything. It's not gone. He's not saying anything because it's not gone. Oh, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Are you saying anything? Maybe you're not saying anything because it ain't gone. There's a weight. Now there's more weight. How many knows that's what sin is? Weight and then more weight. Right? The weight and more weight. But what happens? Tell them now. Now, are you sure? You're positive. Positive. He knows it's gone. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you saved by feelings? No. But if you get saved, do you believe you'll know something's gone? Brother Randy, do you believe you'll feel the hook come out and now you can go for God, amen, the way you wanted to? The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things or become new. Thank you, Chris. You done good, I reckon. Am I in the place of God? A while ago, when I laid that Bible, just using it for a weight, that's the only thing to get you out of sin. But when I used it for a weight, and when I laid it up there, it was a weight. But when I put my elbow on it, it got weightier, didn't it, Chris? It got heavier. Let me say something to you, church. That's what conviction is. Sin is a weight. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost comes and leans on it, it becomes exceeding sinful. And you feel like, I'm going to be crushed. I'm going to die under this weight. As a matter of fact, you feel like you're going to go to hell under this weight. You're looking at a preacher that believes it is an absolute impossibility for God to take that weight off of an individual and that individual not know it. I can't use this illustration this morning. Not without being gross, I am real sweaty right now. I'm not going to stick my armpit in anybody's face. Amen. But not only did I have a weight, sis, I was dirty. Matter of fact, I could think of a word, Brother Sam, a little stronger than dirty. I was filthy. My pastor couldn't clean me up. But oh, did I meet a Savior who can? That precious blood was applied. I went down on my way to heaven, or hell. I came up on my way to heaven. I went down dirty. I came up clean. I went down bound, and I came up free. I went down under a heavy weight, and I came up. Honest to God, it was 2 weeks before I knew my feet were touching this planet. I never experienced such joy. Now, I don't mean you should compare your experience with mine and say, well, that didn't happen that way in my life. But I tell you this, you should be able to go back and say, hey, he took that sin off of me. He gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gave me some peace. I didn't have to lay down at night anymore wondering if I die in my sleep, will I go to heaven or will I go to hell? I knew. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Brother Dustin, aren't you glad, brother, that you don't have to be the character that you played? I think that was a part of the Bible we needed to see. I thank God we had somebody that was willing to do that. But how would you like to live thinking, if you ain't never seen this stuff, you need to look right here. And you'll see the stuff. Old preacher said, gag a maggot off a gut wagon. Amen. Pride makes God sick. And pride is going to be the very thing that a lot of people in this world will ride right on into hell. They won't swallow their pride. They won't admit it's never been right. I was riding down the road one day, and I'm quitting. I'm trying. I had my radio on. One of them old preachers come on there and said, I've been saved. He named off how many years, and he said, I ain't never doubted it. I usually don't talk to radios, but I looked over at that radio, and I said, you're lying. Let me stop and say something. There are times when genuinely saved people experience doubts. Matter of fact, John R. Rice said years ago, if you're a believer, you're a Christian, you've been born again, and you don't battle with doubt, you ought to shout glory. But let me say this to you. Be careful. A lot of things are blamed on doubt. Listen to me carefully. If you are an individual and you're on your way to hell, a lot of things are blamed on the devil. Well, the devil's causing me to doubt. Listen to me carefully. If I was the devil and there was an individual on the way to hell, I wouldn't bother waking him up. You might ought to rethink that, who's trying to get your attention and who's trying to wake you up, who's trying to get you ready. to meet the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Joseph said, am I in the place of God? The answer to that is no. I have the privilege to be the pastor of some of the most precious people I've ever met in this life. But I'm not your God. I'm your pastor. And there are things that he knows that I don't know about you. And there are things that he knows that you don't know about me. Somebody say amen and thank God all in the same sentence. God. Joseph said, am I in the place of God? He said, preacher, I don't understand why you preach this way. Well, in a sentence, because he led me to. And I'm not finished. The Lord has more for us along these lines. We'll see it right there in the text. Am I in the place of God? It's a sobering thought, is it not? A sobering thought. A sobering thought. I would, when people come to me and they're battling with doubts, I would that I could just look them in their eyeballs and make some kind of a connection and say, why, sister, you're saved, or brother, you're saved. I'm not God. I wish I could say if they were lost, you're lost, you need to be saved. But I will say this, I have had times when people talk to me, if they just examine what they said to me, they already said it. I didn't have to say it. They already said it. Am I in the place of God when it comes to the faith? The answer is no. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and thank you for the story of Joseph. God, I know this morning that you're speaking to hearts. I know that in this congregation there are mothers and fathers that would love to do for their children what, Lord, only you can do. Help them to realize, Lord, they're not in the place of God. Help me as a pastor, Father, to ever realize, Lord, that though I love my people and though there's so much I would love to do for them, I am limited. I am finite. But, Lord, you are unlimited and you are infinite. God, this morning, I don't know exactly why. I do know how you've dealt in my heart. Lord, it's not up to me to know why. Lord, I just know I've obeyed you. God, I know that there's a message for our church today, Lord, that's needed. Father, I pray today, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts. And God, I pray today that, Lord, that if there's someone here, Lord, that's lost playing a game, oh, God, I'm so glad for that day. I'm coming upon my 27th birthday. That day when I got tired of playing. That day, Lord, when I got tired of that load. That day, Lord, when I came to a place where it didn't matter to me anymore what anybody thought. I just needed Jesus. I just needed to know that my sin was forgiven. I needed to know that my name was written in heaven. I needed that filth cleansed. I needed that load lifted. I needed that hook that the devil had in me removed. Oh, God, you did it. Lord, I beg you in the name of Jesus, do it again. Do it, Lord, for that individual. I don't even claim to know who they are, Lord. But, Lord, do it for them. Help them, Lord. Help them today to turn loose of sin, to turn loose of self and pride, and take hold of the marvelous Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we love you. We ask you to help and bless this invitation.